Philippians 2, I'll begin to read at verse 5. Our text this evening will be verses 9 to 11. But of course, this whole section from 5 to 11 is one united thought. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, or emptied himself, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, this is an epistle that promotes joy for Christians, and the text this evening is a cup that is brimming over with gladness for the true believer. But first, you need to give attention to a few details in the text. First, if you will look in verse 9, you must notice the connecting word, the very first word in verse 9, the word therefore. There is a logic to what the apostle is saying. And he is saying it is because of Jesus' attitude of self-denial and humility. It is because of that attitude and the behavior that flowed from that attitude of humbling himself. It is because of that that God has exalted him. The reason of his being exalted is verses 5 through 8. That is the whole reasoning of the passage, that connecting word, therefore, God has highly exalted him. And then notice the agents in verses 5 to 8 and then verses 9 to 11. You will notice back in verse 7 that Jesus made himself nothing, or Jesus emptied himself. He was doing something to himself when he took upon himself human nature. He voluntarily took a very low position during the incarnation. That's something he did to himself. And after Jesus took that lowly position, he humbled himself yet further, verse 8. He humbled himself. He was obedient to death, the death of the cross. This was his doing to go to the cross, his chosen pathway. He took these things, this downward course, upon himself. But then, after the therefore, it is God who exalted him. And it is God the Father who gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus humbling himself. And because Jesus humbled himself, therefore God the Father highly exalted him. Well, this passage should bring great pleasure to every true Christian in two different ways. And first of all, it should bring gladness and joy to the Christian heart just to look at the fact of Jesus' exaltation. Just the fact of Jesus' exaltation. We're going to look at the description of that exaltation in verses 9 to 11. And as we do so, we should let our souls just delight themselves in the fact of what has happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. And you will derive pleasure from the fact of his exaltation because of your loving relationship to the Lord Jesus. If you personally love the Lord Jesus, remember what Peter said to us who believe, Jesus is precious. We who have believed on him find him precious. And if you have that loving relationship to Jesus Christ, you will find great joy from the fact of his exaltation. When you love any other individual, You derive great satisfaction when that person receives honor or advancement. A wife gets great satisfaction from the promotions that her husband receives, the recognition that he receives. A husband takes great pleasure from the honors and the accomplishments of his wife. And parents, aren't you delighted when your children do something well? And when the world recognizes them? And when they've accomplished something and achieved something, you receive great pleasure from it because of your close relationship to them, because you love them. They are close relations of yours. Well, whatever your present personal condition, whatever your present personal struggles in life, however much you may be having difficulty individually, you should experience joy from the elevation of Jesus Christ, your Lord, your husband, your master, your older brother, your friend, your Savior. He is all of these things to you. And when He is elevated, and when He is glorified, and when He is praised, that should bring great joy to your heart, no matter what you personally are experiencing at the moment. It's always somewhat painful to us to think about the details of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any sensitive heart of a Christian who looks at what happened to Jesus on the cross is pained by it. If you really love Him, to imagine His sufferings is terribly painful. To think of His dignity being hidden, to think of the way people mistreated Him, the way He felt shame and disgrace and the hiding of God's face from Him. And on we can go with individual details of indignity that was done to Him. It's painful. He was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. He was filled with grief on the cross. But it is comforting to think that since He died on the cross, He has been exalted. And praise God, He has been lifted up to the right hand of God the Father Almighty and sits forevermore at that right hand of God. You will receive joy because of your relationship to Him in love. And the amount of joy that you receive will be proportionate to the amount of your love. And you will receive joy because you are united to His cause. You who are Christians live to honor Him. You want to see the Lord Jesus receive glory. You want people to praise Him, to notice what a wonderful person He is. You have prayed for Jesus to be magnified in our generation. You have thought at your better moments that it little matters what happens to you if only Jesus Christ is advanced. You've lived for that. You've sacrificed for that. You've worked for that. You've risked a great deal for that. You know that people were going to mock you when you spoke out in His behalf, but the Lord Jesus Christ must be honored, you think. And so you've served in that cause. Well, if you have lived to see Jesus Christ honored, He has been honored. He has received the highest honor from God the Father, as we are going to realize. And the cause for which you live has already had magnificent success. And it is not possible that the thing for which you live, Christian, will fail. Because He is already highly exalted at God's right hand, and certain things about His future exaltation are also shown to us in this passage. And that should bring you joy. However, it may appear at the moment that in your struggle to witness, people aren't recognizing the greatness of Christ. And the world in which we are living is even despising His name and taking that name in vain. And that pains your heart and that discourages you. To see His exaltation and His final triumphant success, why, that ought to encourage your heart. The event took place at the ascension of Jesus Christ to the right hand of God. And let's refresh ourselves in the fact. Well, you will notice in the text, in verse 9, the NIV says, God exalted him to the highest place. To the highest place. The King James says he highly exalted him. Well, that's all one word, and literally it is, God hyper-exalted him. He was super-exalted, hyper-exalted by God. And it's as if the New Testament cannot find words to express just how high Jesus Christ has been placed by God the Father since His resurrection from the dead. Just listen to a couple of verses from the New Testament. Hebrews 7:26. Jesus was lifted high above the heavens. Ephesians 4:10, He ascended far above all the heavens. You see, the writers in the New Testament can't even imagine how to describe this exaltation of Jesus. Listen again to Ephesians 1. You don't need to turn there, but Ephesians 1 and verse 20. When the Father raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and all authority and all power and all dominion and every title, far above every title, far above every dominion, far above every power, far above every authority, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And as if that's not enough, God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything. God hyper-exalted Him. Our text is right. The NIV is right. The highest place. You cannot conceive of a higher place than was given to Jesus Christ. By God. God gave Him the position. Now, what Paul focuses on in the passage is the name that the Father gave to Him. He put Him in the highest position and gave Him the name. One of the wonderful features of the NIV is as you read through the book of Acts, you keep coming across this phrase, the name. The name. Sometime read through the book of Acts and notice the way they mention the name. Nothing else said except the name. Well, God gave Him the name. Of course, a name suggests a person's glory, his rank, his dignity, how great a person he is. God gave Him the name that is above every other name. The name above every other name given to the Lord Jesus. What name was that? Well, there's no doubt left in the text as you come down to verse 11. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the name. Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the paramount name. That is the highest name. Jesus Christ is Lord. If you will confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. If you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead and exalted Him and confess that name, that it's the highest name, Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And salvation hangs upon that name and the confessing of that name. When you invoke the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, in your praying or in your speaking, do you realize what you are saying? This is the highest of all names, the most dignified name, the most powerful name in all the universe. It's a name above the names of emperors. People get so excited about earthly rulers, and who are they next to Jesus Christ? He is hyper exalted, far above every dominion and power. Far above. Far, far above every one of them. And the early church in the book of Acts knew the name. Jesus Christ is Lord. And they would die to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they would prefer to be thrown to lions than to say Caesar is Lord. No, he is not. They did not believe that Caesar was Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And they went to the lions and they were eaten by them to stand by the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. God gave him the superlative name. Now, in consequence of his being hyper-exalted and given the name above every name, the hour is coming in which, at the mention of the name, the mere mention of the name, you see what it says in verse 10. We don't see this yet, do we? You mention the name of Jesus Christ and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Some people snicker. The hour is coming, which at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In heaven, the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim, the glorified saints, will bow at the mention of the name of Jesus in heaven. On earth, all people who are still alive, whether they are Christians or whether they are not, when they hear the name of Jesus, they will bow. And under the earth, the devils and those who are in hell and perishing, at the name of Jesus, they will bow. And every tongue, without exception, will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And that will bring glory to God the Father. To the glory of God the Father, it says in verse 11. Every tongue will confess. Now, do you realize that this is talking about you? Every knee, your knee, at the name of Jesus, it will bow. Every tongue, at the name of Jesus, will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, in this era of the preaching of the gospel, those who bow in submission at the preaching of the name of Jesus, and those who confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, in the hour of the gospel, receive life everlasting. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. But the hour is coming when the gospel era will be over, and the trumpet will sound, and the Savior will descend in all of His evident glory, and no one will miss the fact that He has been hyper-exalted, and He is the most glorious and the most powerful of all beings, and that He has the whole world in His hands, and He can do with every individual what He wants to do. He is King of kings. He is Lord over all of the earthly rulers. And over all of the demons, and over all of the devils. And then people will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then people will bow the knee to Him. But they will go away into everlasting darkness, for the age of the gospel will be over. And nothing will bring more glory to God than this certain universal worship of Jesus and this affirmation of His Lordship. Now, again I say, it does not matter what your personal struggles or pains of the moment are. This is the source of greatest joy to all who love the Lord Jesus Christ. To all who have been pained at seeing Him nailed to a cross and spat upon and despised by Jew and Gentile, and no one to stand by His name at the cross, to realize that God hyper-exalted Him far above all the heavens and every name that is named, and has given Him the name above all others. Live for the name, Christian, and confess the name, and walk around this world in the realization that Jesus Christ is Lord. And let other people know that you believe that. Well, I said that the passage would bring joy to every Christian in two ways, and we've only mentioned one way so far. The fact of Jesus' exaltation should bring joy to the Christian. But the second reason is really the main point of the passage. We haven't come to the main argument of the passage yet. You see, back in verse 5, all of this about Jesus is being discussed as an example to you. Your attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ. You should imitate Jesus Christ in self-denial and humility. Now, what is going to be the end of your denying yourself and humbling yourself in the present world and before other human beings? What will be the result of your humiliation in this life? Well, what is the argument of the passage? Down in verse 9. Therefore, because Jesus Christ denied himself and humbled himself, and when he was humbled, he humbled himself more, until he gave himself over to a humiliating death. He came into the world and looked like a servant, born in a stable of a dominated people, having no power or influence or wealth, unrecognized by men. That's how he came, and from there he went down, down. And at the point of death, he had no place to lay his head, not so much as the birds who have a nest and the foxes who have a hole. He had no place that was his own. He humbled himself. And he took a humiliating death. And as you grow older, sometimes you look at what happens to people and you say the process of aging and the process of dying is humiliating. You lose all dignity near death. You lose your ability to take care of yourself. And people don't respect you anymore. And terrible things can occur to you in the process of death. Our Lord Jesus Christ took the most humiliating death and voluntarily entered into death, the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Well, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. A life, an entire life of denying yourself, not denying yourself for a few months, so that a few months later you can be the triumphant one. Not humbling yourself for a few years so that later on you can have recognition and wealth and applause. But a whole life of humbling yourself and giving of yourself, that you might hear the therefore from God in the world to come. Didn't our Lord Jesus teach this as a principle for everyone? Luke 14:11. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Every athlete that beats on his chest and dances around and waves his finger in somebody else's face and says, I'm number one and I'm the greatest and I've done it all and I control my own destiny. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And everyone who accumulates wealth and power and position and fame, whether he seeks it by good looks or a big house or popularity or even position in the church, everyone who exalts himself by climbing the ladder of offices in the church, everyone who exalts himself by strutting around like a peacock, as a cardinal and an archbishop, having people bowing to them and kissing their rings? Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Every TV evangelist who becomes a star exalting himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Universal principle. Everyone who humbles himself. Isn't that what Jesus did? He humbled himself. He will be exalted by God. That's the argument of the passage. Proverbs 3:34 and 1 Peter 5:5. God opposes the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. What is happening in this world? People exalt themselves. They climb to the top of the mountain. They think they're king of the hill. God casts them down. But the meek will inherit the earth. Over and over again, Jesus would say to people who listened to him teach, the first will be last. They will. And the last will be first. And he meant it. This principle is all around you. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, you will never humble yourself as much as Jesus did, nor will you ever be, for that reason, exalted as highly as Jesus is. But to the degree that you imitate him in self-denial and humility, there will come, at the day of judgment, an exaltation by the Lord. There's a beautiful picture of it in Matthew chapter 25. The Lord says, come, you blessed of my Father. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And they are startled. And they are surprised. What do you mean? What did we ever do? They had become so humble as to expect little at the hand of the Lord. Jesus humbled himself and God exalted him. Life can seem like such a load of hardship to you. Persecution and slander fall upon the Christian. The Christian takes it upon himself willingly, having learned how the world reacts to the gospel and to speaking of moral issues and to giving glory to God. Poverty is suffered to the very end of life by some who choose to seek first the kingdom of God. Christians are subject to the sword, and death comes, and sickness, and weakness, and the loss of dignity, and death itself. While the world seems to have wealth and health and fame and appreciation, but you know, the Lord Jesus said, verily they have their reward. I tell you, they have all that they're going to get. Let them have their fame and their wealth for a few moments. That's all they're going to get. That's it. That is it. That is all they can expect. They have it. And it will soon be gone. But he that humbles himself will at the coming of Christ and in the world to come be exalted. And there is a kingdom. And there is a wealth. And there is a riches that lasts forevermore. For those who learn to imitate the Savior. Romans chapter 8 puts it in a very forceful way. When in verse 35, the apostle asks, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Listen to that list. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. No, as it is written, we, for your sake,
face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. He didn't say that the way of the Christian's conquering is to escape all of those things. No, as we experience all these things, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Not the world's idea of success in getting away from trouble. When Jesus humbled Himself and denied Himself, God highly exalted Him. He will do that to every truly humble Christian who has denied himself to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. God will cast down the proud, but He will exalt in due time the humble to sit on the throne with Him. So, Christian, wait on the Lord and be of good courage and rejoice at seeing the principle with which the Lord works, that when Christ humbled Himself, God highly exalted Him. One final word that really backs up for a moment. Have you personally realized that Jesus Christ is Lord? Have you? Do you believe that He is the supreme power in the world at this time? Do you believe that He has control over your life and your destiny? Do you believe that He is controlling current events in America and all the world over? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you believe that He is sitting on the throne at God's right hand? Do you believe that He has full sovereignty? That He is supreme? That all this world is under His feet? All things are under His feet? Well, the important question is not just whether you believe those facts as the Scripture teaches them, but have you bowed to Him? Have you confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord? It doesn't matter if a person gets up in front of the church and gives a little testimony and gets baptized. It doesn't matter that a person confesses Jesus Christ is Lord. It certainly does matter. It makes all the difference in the world. If you save your life, you'll lose it. What's that mean? Young people, you know the feeling, oh, am I going to miss the good times if I become a Christian? You save your life, you're going to lose it. Well, maybe I'll be missing something if I believe in Christ. You save your life, you're going to lose it. But he who loses his life for Christ's sake will gain it. And it will be eternal life. For Christ has been hyper-exalted, and His people are exalted with Him. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to the table, and we look again at the bread representing Your broken body and the blood represented in the cup of juice, and we see how far You humbled Yourself, how we are glad to know of Your exaltation. Lord Jesus, we would come to the table again and confess openly that You are Lord and that You are our Lord and our God, and we identify with You and we are trusting in Your broken body and Your shed blood. And we are trusting in Your exaltation at the Father's right hand. And we even confess our sins and humble ourselves before You now. In Your blessed name, amen.